the book, the Bible, for a while. Others, it was their regular practice, but they called out to Ezra, "Open the book!" And the book, God's word, was opened and it was read, and it affected their lives. They read something that they found that they weren't doing that God wanted them to do, and they were kind of cut to the heart about it. But Ezra and the team sort of stepped in and said, "Hey, don't wallow in sorrow and sadness. Put it right. Go out and do it, and then carry on in your life." So they did just that. Then the very next day, they opened up. They found something else, and they put that right. They made that part of their life. So we're looking at some verses from the Bible where we see the Bible affecting people's life. And this morning we're going to, you can bring up the, we're looking at Psalm 1. We're actually revisiting Psalm 1. If you recall, we did look at it last year, but as Daryl and I were talking, thought they're just fantastic verses to revisit, and to, especially on this theme of letting the Bible kind of become part of your life and letting it affect you. So that's where we're heading. So I have a question, and it is, might just need to move it on for us. Ah, there you go. Hopefully we'll get it. Do you want a happy life? There you go. Of course, Alistair said. Of course. But not just any happy life. A happy life as God would kind of classify it. The one who designed us and created us, his definition of a happy life. Do you want that kind of happy life? Yeah, I reckon that would be pretty cool. You'd still have ups and downs in life, because when you become part of God's family, it's not a constant high, and you know there are ups and downs. But it would be pretty desirable to have that. And Psalm 1 kind of gives us some information that will set us on that path for that happy life as God deems it. If we follow this path, then the probability is that we will have this happy life. So turn to Psalm chapter 1, if you've got whatever you've got there to do that. And it begins. So this is kind of the path. Blessed is the one who. Now, that kind of word, blessed, we don't use it as much today as we have done in the past. So some other translations of the Bible might help us out here. So that the NCV says, happy are those who. So blessed, happy. The NLT. Whoop, back, sorry. We flicked. Whoop. We'll get ourselves completely lost here. Ah, yeah, that's the NLT. The NLT says, oh, the joys of those who. So that word blessed has the connotations of being happy, joyous in our life. So that's where the psalm is heading, telling us how this is possible. So let's carry on this blessed, happy, joyous life as God deems it. So blessed is the one who does not. Okay. So to have this joyous, this happy life, there is something that this person won't be doing. So there's a pathway that they won't be on. Here we go. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. So to kind of sum it up, in order to have this happy life, you've got to watch who you keep company with. You know, it's quite black and white. Watch out who you align yourself with in your thought processes and your thinking. And you can see a progression here. That you're walking along in life, you're walking along the road, and you kind of slot in beside somebody who's also walking along. And maybe they're not so God-honoring in their lifestyle. That in itself isn't wrong to kind of mix with these people. We're encouraged, kind of in other parts of the Bible, to do that. But maybe you get a little comfortable as you walk along the road with them. And their ways become a little more attractive to you. Maybe it's in a business sense. Align yourself with unethical business people, and you begin to follow their ways. Maybe the party scene and the drinking culture, maybe who you have a relationship with, but their kind of lifestyle becomes a little more attractive. So you begin to walk along with them. Then the next step is you stop and linger. You know, their ways begin to become your ways, and their thought processes definitely do become your kind of thought processes. Well, what the psalmist here is saying is that's kind of the wrong direction to be on if you want that happy life as God deems it. Then the next step is you sit down with them, you know, your arms behind your head, relaxing with them. You're comfortable with them and their practices. Sort of their ways are now your ways, and you're not going anywhere. You know, you become quite at home there. And I don't know, but I guess you've observed some people who have gone down that path, and it's really sad. It is heartbreaking. Well, God's advice is, by all means, mix with people like this. But if you find yourself then walking along with them and beginning to be attracted by that kind of lifestyle, the psalmist is saying, what God is saying is, turn yourself around and head off in the other direction. You know, run for the hills, if you like. So that's... it'll only lead to grief. So that's a direction that a happy, blessed, joyous person in God's eyes shouldn't be heading down. So that's quite practical and a cool bit of advice from Almighty God. Pretty practical. And then if we carry on to verse 2, he says, but, okay. Now we get some advice from Almighty God as to what we need to do to have that characteristic, that happiness in our life. We're told that there's a common denominator for this. So here we go. But the blessed, the joyous, the happy person, they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. So again, quite black and white. This is the key to us heading down that road of happiness. It's a person who invites the book, the Bible, the verses into their hearts and minds. It's like you open the Bible, you get a verse, you kind of put your arm around it, you invite them into your life, invite them home, they sit down and you have a conversation with them. You get to know them, you know, in your heart and your mind. You might have to remove something in your life and your heart and mind that's a bit of a time waster. You know, you might need to get them out of the chair and shove them over a bit, then sit the verse down, or some not so God honouring activity in your life. You might need to shove that in the back burner as well. But you sit down and you get to know the verse. You have a natter with it, if you like. Some of the things you might kind of mull over in your mind is when you read the verse and maybe write it out and stick it somewhere where you look at it is, well, what stands out to me about this verse? What really stands out as I read it? Another one might be, in my own words, what is the overall message of the verse? So you're starting just to get to know that verse a little bit more. Why do you think the Lord God Almighty thought it necessary that this verse is in the Bible? You might just think about that for a little while and chew it over. You might think of somebody who's modeled that verse in their life. Maybe it's somebody that's gone down the wrong track, or maybe it's somebody that's going down the right track and just seeing the effects of it. So you're just kind of just mulling it over and getting to know it. And then a fantastic thing to think about when you're thinking about the verses, how will I be different today as a result of thinking and reading about this verse? So you kind of get the picture. You're sitting down with the verse and you're having a natter with it and getting to know it. And it finds a home in your heart and your mind. You know, it kind of belongs there. And it begins to radiate out in your life. And then you grab another verse and you sit down with it and you get to know it. And it radiates out and it finds a home and it's not going anywhere. It's right in there. And you take another verse and you sit it down and get to know. And things are getting a bit cramped now there. So you kick out that time waster. Don't need that anymore. And that not so God-honoring activity might scarper because he's not enjoying having all these verses rattling around in you. And you might find, hey, when you sit down with this verse, oh, did you know that you're related to that verse? You find some connections there. Like Nehemiah chapter 8 last week. Remember, they opened the Bible. They were convicted by something that they weren't doing that God would love them to be doing. They were kind of convicted about that, but then they put it right. And they then went on, opened the Bible again, looked at it, were convicted about something else, then rectified it and did it. And I think it's the second to last verse in Nehemiah chapter 8 says the reaction of the people were pure joy having done that. They were joyful. Ah, that relates to this verse that we're just looking at now. The response of opening the Bible, getting to know the verses, again, is that joy. So it's that process of just getting to know verses, seeing their links. This is the key to a happy life as God deems it. And then verse 3. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water. Now that person's roots go down deep into God and his ways. You know, they produce a changed life. And that verse 3 goes on, a life that bears fruit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience. That's the blessed and happy life. We become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our kind of aim in life and his thinking and his actions. We become the sort of people that people enjoy being around because of that characteristic. Now, and I think of people in my life over the years whose life are like that, that verses have become part of their life, their roots go down deep into God, and they just radiate out in an amazing way. I think of Neville and George and Dr. Dwight and Roger, my Bible class leader, which when were you in Bible class? I think it's when you were college age. And as us teenagers, some of us didn't want to be there, some of us did, but we witnessed Roger, our Bible class leader, just growing, radiating out over the year. He taught us because he had found this love for the Bible. Almost, I guess, he began reading more and more to keep up with us fellas that were asking questions. But the verses became part of his life and they just radiated out. So wouldn't you like to be that kind of person? It would be cool. And imagine your home group made up of people like this. Maybe it is. Fantastic. Imagine our church made up of 250-odd people whose roots again go down deep into God. That would be a fantastic, fantastic thing. And we're told that it is possible for that. And that's what God intends. That's the kind of happy life that God intends for us when we invite these verses into our hearts and our minds. And there's something else, another result, and whose leaf does not wither. So you kind of get the picture when the hot winds of life blow or the droughts come our way, you know, when we get sent on a, find ourselves on a not so pleasant detour in life, maybe we look around at others and they're wilting. They're really struggling under that detour in life. But we're told somebody who has this process in their life, their leaf does not wither. Not because they're immune to these detours in life, but they still prosper regardless of that. And I seem to mention my dad quite a bit from up here, but maybe that's looking back, the influence he's had on my life. But when when I think of him, he was one of these people who meditate on the Bible day and night. One who invited these verses into their lives, into his life, and they became part of them, and they radiated out. And I could add him to the list of those whom you come across, who when you come across them, you're refreshed. And he certainly prospered. You know, he had a great wife and marriage, fantastic kids. He was a leader in a growing church. A conference speaker, he was a respected teachers' college lecturer, won a scholarship to study full-time overseas, all expenses paid, and for the family to go as well. You know, he was prosperous. But then hang on a minute. 3 months into that scholarship, he was diagnosed with cancer with only, 6 weeks to live. You perhaps wouldn't call that prospering. But I wonder whether we get the wrong end of the stick when it comes to prospering. Maybe our initial view isn't God's initial view about whatever they do prospers. But through his cancer, he didn't wither. He didn't kind of crumple and fall in a heap. People came to visit him, to encourage him and to comfort him, but they were the ones that ended up being encouraged and comforted. People felt better kind of when they left than when they arrived. They left knowing more about God through visiting than if they hadn't. They were nourished. Visiting wasn't a chore for them. They looked forward to it. Our home became kind of a refuge for the district nurse. She could come and laugh and she could cry and pour out her heart out. You see, my dad still prospered, even though he was suffering these circumstances. He still prospered regardless. Sure, he, like anyone with cancer, he still needed encouragement and counsel of others. He still had the fear of the pain that was sort of on the horizon. He still needed medical intervention. Still had the sadness of leaving his family behind in the very near future. But he still had that joy of life. He still had that fruit of the Spirit coming out in his life. And why was that? Because he had invited the Word of God into his life. He had just chewed verses over in his mind and got to know them, and then they were able to radiate out in his life. So when he ended up facing cancer, he didn't crumple. He still prospered, still had that blessed, that happy life. So maybe a challenge for you, maybe something to do this week. Maybe you're reading through Colossians, which was the challenge from last week, and seeing how that might highlight areas in your life. But maybe if you're not doing that, why? Here's a challenge. Take Psalm 1, just one verse at a time, just kind of the first three verses in all. But take it, firstly open and read, and you might write out the verse, and you might learn it too. But do invite it into your life, and maybe ask some of those questions, get to know it, and just see how it becomes part of your life and how you can apply it in your life, and let that verse then radiate out. So that's the challenge. Just take, maybe this week, just take verse 1 and really get to know it and put into practice some of these things that we've been looking at this morning. So I trust that's been helpful to you, been practical. Psalm 1, a fantastic part. And perhaps another challenge, if you are kind of heading down in this direction that we talked about earlier, just get off the bus and kind of turn around and walk the other way. Be fantastic. And if you need a bit of help in doing that, have a natter with somebody to lend a hand in that area too. Thanks. Our time has gone. Alison, thanks.